Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
And so I wanted us to just be reminded of that, that we say, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And see, Jesus set it up that way. He set up the Lord's Prayer for us to pray to Him, to pray to the Father, because the disciples said, how do we pray? How do we even talk to the Father? And so I personally believe that Jesus said the Lord's Prayer, not as a rote memorization thing that you're supposed to say the same time and the same way over and over, but sort of as this wonderful guideline for our own hearts to come through. I don't believe that God intended for us to all say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I don't. I really don't. I think that He intended for us to use that as an outline or a guideline to say, Our Father who art in heaven, you're amazing. You're my dad. You're my father. And to have that kind of praise and adoration and then to go on to forgiveness and to go on to say, You're my daily bread and I depend on you. You're my sustenance. You're everything. You're my provider. You're my Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord my provider in Hebrew. And so we get to that where we say, and give us this day our daily bread. And then we go into this rote memorization thing and forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does that mean? I mean, I'm really praying something powerful there. First of all, trespassing, we all know what that is. That's when you go into some area that you shouldn't. And so I'm saying, God, I want you to forgive me as I forgive those who have done something against me and gone in some area of my life and trespassed against me. Forgive me that same way. I mean, Jesus is telling us that He wants us to forgive, is basically what He's saying. And it's so important for us to do that. Trespasses are our transgressions and offenses, injuries, violations. And they can be in so many different areas. I mean, people can trespass against you financially. People can trespass against you medically. They can trespass against you in so many ways. They can misunderstand you and judge you and speak terribly about you. They can mistreat you or mistreat a family member. And Jesus doesn't say, these are the categories that you have to forgive and the other stuff you can hold against them for the rest of their lives. And we get in trouble because we don't really realize that Jesus is saying we have to forgive all of it. And I don't understand all of it, but I know that God gives us the grace to do what He's called us to do. He gives us the grace to do it. He is so amazing like that. I've told a few of you this story, but one of the most powerful stories of forgiveness that I've ever experienced was going in and speaking to kids who've been taken out of their homes by the state of Texas. And these kids had been severely abused in many different ways, physically, sexually, emotionally, mentally abused. And one little girl was there, and I do remember her name, and I'm going to not say it on purpose. She was 11 years old and didn't really know that much about the Bible. And I kept going up there and talking to them about different things, but especially about forgiveness. And I remember thinking, Kathleen, what makes you think that you can come up here, and yes, you've forgiven people of things, and yes, you've had huge hurts in your life, and yes, you know, we could all share things that were not fair. They were wrong. The persons were wrong, or the institution was wrong, or something was wrong, and it was against us, and we have to forgive. But I've never had a parent try to hurt me or kill me. And this little girl had... Well, both of her parents were in the penitentiary, but her mother in particular was actually in the penitentiary for trying to kill her. there, you know, Almahites, going up there to this place called Meadowland where these children have been taken out of their homes and saying, oh, no, you have to forgive. You got to forgive your parents. And I remember just thinking, this just doesn't make sense to me, God. You know, why are they even going to listen to me? Why would they even listen to me? But see, the word is true no matter the vessel. Every vessel that you hear the word through is imperfect. They have their own struggles. But prayerfully and hopefully, they love God with all their hearts and souls and minds. I mean, those are the vessels we receive from. And they're called human beings, and some wear black with a white collar, and some don't. But they're just vessels. And God said, my word is true. If you speak my word and you tell her the truth, see, if you know the truth will set you free. And I didn't have to try to figure out how he was going to do it. And so we sat in a big circle with a whole bunch of different kids, and I was talking about forgiveness. And of course, anytime you teach anything, the Holy Spirit starts working in your heart on that very thing. So I was, you know, forgiving people right and left, and still am all the time. Have to throw myself in there and forgive ourselves as well. Some of us are really good about forgiving other people, and it comes to forgiving ourselves, and it's like, oh, that counts? And I told this group of kids, I said, you have to forgive. Jesus says forgive. And I shared with them so many of these scriptures that I'm going to be sharing with you today. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Do you know the Bible says that? Forgive that you may be forgiven. Mark 11:25 says that. And verse 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Not good. See, because I can justify my unforgiveness. Is I could also justify her unforgiveness. And so I shared with them, you know, you have to forgive. And I saw them listening, and we shared so many different verses, and we shared the love of God, and we shared how God was her heavenly Father, and God was going to supply all her needs. And the kids just kind of sat there and listened to me and took it in. And I drove home that night thinking, God, you know, is it just words going out? And I didn't know that anything had happened until I went up the next week. And she ran up to me and just practically jumped on me like kids do, you know? And I grabbed her in my arms and she said, I forgave my mom, I forgave my mom. And I said, you did? And she said, yes, she said, because you said that Jesus would help me if I just said I was willing to do what he told me to do. And so I said, Jesus, I don't know how to forgive my mom. And she showed me scars on her body that her mother had done, and won't even go there. And she said, but I want to do what you've told me to do because you love me and I love you. And so just give me the ability to forgive. And she said, I laid in my bunk that night and I closed my eyes. And she said, Jesus, did you know he's got scars right here? He came to me at night by myself and he raised up his hands and he said, I am going to heal the scars in your heart and in your mind and on your body. But I'm going to let you remember what was done to you so that you won't do it to your children. And he gave me this love for my mom that I'd never, ever had before. And I just forgave her. And I just sat there in awe, first of all, because God loves to, like, mess up your doctrine, you know? Like, first of all, you're thinking, oh, I didn't know Jesus would appear to an 11-year-old, you know, after just knowing a few verses. Is that possible? Does he still do that today? See, God says he's the great I am. He's not the great I was. He is the God of today, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what she needed. She needed him to appear to her. Has he ever appeared to me? No. Would I like him to? Absolutely, yes. Have I ever heard the audible voice of God? Yes. Would I like to every single day? Yes. Do I know? I mean, there's so much I don't understand about God, but I do know one thing, without a doubt, that whatever he tells us to do, we can do. And I come here this morning in saying that, and I'm so moved by that because that's a real story with a real little girl who now is probably about, I would say, maybe almost 20 years old. And her life has been changed by the Word of God. But God, he means what he says about forgiveness. And we forget these verses that if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. And I want to read them to us because we so often forget. And I get lazy about forgiving. I get lazy about it. And we need to not be lazy about it for so many different reasons. Giving forgiveness to others, Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, out of the Lord's Prayer again, Matthew 6:14, and if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Same scriptures in Mark that we just read in Matthew. If you forgive, your Father will forgive you, but if you don't, you block your own forgiveness from God. Your own. And you know, what we do is we rationalize why we're not forgiving. This injustice that's been done to us is too great, it's too terrible, and I can't forgive. Or I just don't have the feelings to forgive. Or I don't know how to forgive. Or how could I ever forgive? And then we replay the whole thing in our minds, which only makes it more impossible to forgive. But I look at that 11-year-old little girl, and all she said is, Jesus, you said it, and I love you. She didn't say, I love my mother, and I understand everything she did, and I've taken tons of counseling courses, and I'm going to be a psychotherapist so I can understand it all so that I can finally let go. She said, I love you, God, and I want to do what you said to do. She never had to understand why or how. See, that's what I love about the Word of God, and how clearly it says that we cannot even come to God lest we become like little children. And I know in my heart that the closer I get to God, the more like a little child I become, and the less like an adult that I become. And in the natural realm, my natural personality and my natural inclination is to figure everything out. Like, I'd love to figure out and rationalize and analyze and get it all set into little proper boxes and files in my mind before I forgive anybody. It just seems safer that way. The problem is sometimes we never quite get around to forgiving them. Or it makes it impossible to forgive them because the more I remember and the more I drudge up what's done to me, the more unfair it really can be. Yeah? And that's not the way God does it. He says, just come to me and say that you're willing, and I will give you the ability to do it. And it's that way with everything he says in the Word of God. Just come to me and say that you're willing, and I will give you the ability to do it. It's our amazing God. Matthew 18:21 says, and then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother in sin Shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? First of all, I love Peter. I love Peter because Peter's the one disciple that's willing to say stuff that the other ones are thinking, but they're not going to say. Don't you love people like that? I'm one of those people, so you're supposed to say, yes, we love that. I was always the kid in the class that was like, you know, willing to raise my hand and ask the question that nobody else really wanted to ask. And everyone was in full support of me if the teacher liked the question, you know. And that's just like Peter. And you know what? Peter messed up so much. He stepped out and messed up. But what I love about Peter is, you know, we remember stuff like, well, you know, Peter stepped out of the boat and he sank because he didn't have enough faith. Hello, he stepped out of the boat. Where were the other guys? Still in the boat. He said, Jesus, I'll follow after you. And he stepped out of the boat. I love Peter. So he's saying, you know what? We need to nail this forgiveness thing because it's not that easy. So I don't want to be this like holy disciple guy, you know, acting like I'm forgiven. I want to know how many times God really expects me to do this. Because after that, I'm not doing it anymore. And they're all thinking that, but nobody's going to say that. Because we'd all love that. I'd love it if we could have this little sheet that said, you've forgiven. forgiven so-and-so so many times, that's it, scratch them out. But God doesn't give us that permission. And so Peter opens his mouth and he responds, how often do I have to forgive my brother? Till seven times. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and the payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you. And then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out. The same one who had just been forgiven of all of his debt went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. That's not much. And laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you oust. I love the King James. Wouldn't you love to say that to someone? Pay me what you oust. But here is this man who's been forgiven so much by his master. Completely forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. The debt has been paid. Nothing is owed. And he's joyful for just a little while. But then he goes out to one of his fellow servants and says, pay me what you owe. And you know what? There have been people in my life that I've thought I forgave, but really deep down inside in my attitude was, pay me what you owe. You still owe me. You still owe me. And that is not really forgiving. And you know what's sad about that? Is even if we never can say that to that person, even if we don't have the ability or the opportunity, or maybe that person is not even on this earth anymore, if there is a lack of forgiveness, we'll reach to somebody else and say, pay me what you owe. There'll be that lack. There'll be that vacuum. That's a good word. That debt that's owed. But see, when we let God have his way in us and we forgive, he fills it, and we don't have that yearning where we're pulling out of other people. I know people that have been wronged by others or in a situation in their life, and there's not been the complete forgiveness and cleansing, and everyone that they're around, they pull from because they feel like society owes them, or their spouse owes them, or their children owe them, or their friends owe them. And it's that lack of forgiveness. So this man goes to this fellow servant and tells him he owes him. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all, says the man. But he would not. He went out and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called unto him, said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all of your debt, because thou desirest me, shouldn't thee also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him into the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father also do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. The Bible really say that? Not just the Bible, but Jesus said that. If you don't forgive others, God can't forgive you. The scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11:26 through 32 say, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever should eat this bread and drink this cup of the word of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What is this saying? It's saying that we're supposed to go examine ourselves. have time before communion to pray and say, God, do I have unforgiveness or bitterness in my heart towards somebody? Because God says that if we take communion unworthily, I love the way the King James puts it. It says, some become weak and sick and many sleep. And that's the sleep of death. That's how serious God takes for us taking the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important for us to be reminded of that because some of us have only had teaching on communion when we were in first grade. How old are you in first grade? You're 6 years old. It's hard to really know that. And even if you were really an astute six-year-old person, I don't know about you, but between 6 years old and how old I am now, I've had plenty of time to get pretty embittered and had experiences where I need to forgive people. I've had lots of time. And I need to be reminded of taking that time to examine myself. And the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 11:26 through 32 that it says that we would examine ourselves so that we wouldn't be judged, so that we could say, God, you know, I know that I do have unforgiveness in my heart. And just like that 11-year-old little girl, I don't know what to do, but I love you. Please help me. And he's so faithful to do that. I don't know what to do, but I love you. Please help me. I don't want to take of your body and your blood unworthily. Please help me. And he's so faithful and just to do just that. Matthew 6:12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Exactly like what we're talking about today. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Luke 11:4 says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We see the Lord's Prayer coming up over and over and over again. And yet, it's interesting how often I've said that prayer and yet held unforgiveness in my heart towards someone else as I'm praying and asking God to forgive me as I forgive others. Is that smart? And yet I've done it so much because I have it memorized and I've just done it that way. Forgive me, Lord, as I forgive others. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not temptation, but deliver us from evil, thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. And I know you've all prayed it that way before, too. You get really tired and bad with your child at night. It's like, our Father in art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, will be done, on earth as it is. But we're asking God to forgive us as we forgive others. That's what Jesus taught us to do. So I think it's really important for us to learn to forgive others. So, so important. I'm not going to have time to get as much into this as I would like, but I wanted us to look at the life of Joseph, and I just so pray that you all will be here next Sunday. I pray we all will be, God willing, but I just wanted us to look at the life of Joseph because it's so important for us to learn to forgive, even if our circumstances haven't changed. And I look at the life of Joseph, and I see the example that he set, and it excites me because it's such a story of forgiveness. There's so many stories of forgiveness in the Bible, Jesus Christ being the number one story of forgiveness. And I'm starting to see more and more the heart of God with us forgiving his children as my children get older and have more need for forgiveness and more need for mercy. You know, it's one thing when they're little bitty and they're really cute and everybody loves them, but as they start to make up their own mind and make their own decisions and make mistakes and offend people and do things they wish they hadn't have done and get in places that they don't even know they shouldn't be, they need more forgiveness. And I don't know that I would believe you if you told me that you love me and you spit in the face of one of my children. I just might not believe you. See, because you can't separate the father from his children. You can't separate the mother from her children. And as you all are sitting there this morning, you have children. You know that if I said I love you, but I mistreated and spoke against one of your children, that's not love. You know, love is the people in your life who would give you the shirt off their back and also give the shirt off the back to one of your kids. And God says, if you love me, you'll will forgive my children, not because you love them, but because you love me. It's not for them, it's for him. And God means what he says. And the more we love God, the more we're willing to do it, not because we love them or because we understand, but because we love God. And this isn't easy for me either. But when I've been going through some of the stuff that I've been going through medically and realizing some pretty big misdiagnoses and some pretty big mistakes and some pretty big negligence, God started telling me something that I didn't understand where it was coming from, but I kept hearing the same thing in my heart, and that was forgive in the prison. Forgive while you're still in the prison. I thought, that doesn't make sense. What does that mean? I'm not in prison. But I kept hearing it over and over and over and over. Forgive while you're still in the prison. And I was still experiencing the aftermath of some of these things and still am, and going through some pretty serious things physically. And I'm not going to delve into a lot of detail, but we all have things in our life that, you know, it's really easy to forgive someone if the thing's over, if it's done with, and it's not affected you or your family, right? I forgive you. Like Storm said the other day, you're welcome. The story from last Sunday. Isn't that easy? It's easy. The little things are easy to forgive. It's the bigger things that are harder to forgive. The things that really hurt us, whether they be financially, whether they be physically, whether they be whatever they may be. And I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, forgive from the prison. And I didn't understand that until I sat down and read the life of Joseph. And I'm only going to be able to touch on this a little bit today. And I want to go into more detail next Sunday. But Joseph had so many needs to forgive, so many opportunities. Don't you love that word, opportunities? Don't you wish God wouldn't give you so many opportunities sometimes? I'd really rather not have the opportunity. You know, we want to pray and we want to be spiritual, but we don't really want the opportunity to pray. We want to be patient, right, and learn patience, but I don't really want the opportunity to exhibit that I've learned patience. Do you? I'd rather never have to be patient and just be patient, right? I'd rather be full of faith and trust God, even when I can't see what's going on, and quote the scriptures and say that faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. And that God calls those things that are not as though they were. And that we can trust in him, that we can believe in him and rely on him. And we can trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean on our own understanding. And in all ways acknowledge him. And he will make our path straight. Even when we can't see what we're doing, he will be the lamp unto our feet. He will be the light unto our path. He will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I will follow him with all my heart. But I don't want any opportunities to have to do that. Because they're hard. And we don't want any opportunities to have to forgive. Because they're hard. But we certainly find it easier when things have gotten better. It's so much easier to forgive you if you've asked for forgiveness and you've changed and you've stroked my feathers a little bit. Isn't it easier? But what about when the person doesn't change and they don't ask for forgiveness and they're still the same and they're still hurting you? And so forgiving in the prison for me was still experiencing some major symptoms on my body that changed, I mean, put me in bed for a long time and having to say, I forgive. I forgive a negligent situation here. Forgiving from the prison. See, what I wanted to do was get better and then forgive. You know? Don't we want to do that? I want to get over the divorce and then forgive. I want my child to get in a better place and then I'll forgive the people that rejected them. I want to get in a better place financially, and then I'll forgive the people or the institutions or whatever, the partners that turned against me or the bank that denied me or whatever it is. Then I'll forgive them once I'm in this better place and God says forgive from the prison. And for me, that was in a physical realm, but for you it may be in another realm. And God used the life of Joseph, and I want to share more in depth next Sunday. But what we see here is that Joseph was in the prison, not of any of his own doing, but because his brothers betrayed him. And that's a whole nother story. They threw him in a cistern, and then the Ishmaelites came and picked him up. And can you imagine an empty cistern where you just hear your own voice crying out, help me, help me, you know? Don't you think Joseph might have a little bit of a complex at this time? He taken to enemy territory, made head of Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife lies about him, and then he's thrown into prison, and he's in this dungeon, and then he thinks he's going to get out because he tells these people that end up going to Pharaoh's house that are working for Pharaoh, and he tells them, don't forget me, I analyzed your dream, don't forget me, I'm Joseph, and they forget him. Everybody's mistreated him and forgotten him and denied him and done horrible things to him, thrown him out to the enemy, just like we have been betrayed, some of us. We have had wrong things done to us, some of us. And not easy things, some of us. And yet in prison, what God showed me is that when he finally did get called to go to Pharaoh's house, the Word of God says, and I'd like to find it really quickly, but it basically says that even after he interprets the dream, that 3 years pass and he's still in prison. And you know, I think about that. I think about all those years that Joseph is in prison, and that's either time for him to get bitter or better, don't you think? We've got times in our lives when we're in prison, where we're going through a tough time, and it's opportunity, there's that word again, that we wish God wouldn't give us, to get bitter or better. And so what Joseph does is he most obviously forgives the people that have betrayed him and not helped him, because it says in Genesis 41, after all these years, in verse 14, when Pharaoh sent for Joseph, he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. You know what I hear there? More than what they're saying, what I hear is Joseph was ready. See, I think that if he had stewed in his own bitterness and become this man where he had hopelessness and bitterness and unforgiveness, see, unforgiveness breeds hopelessness. It breeds disparity. It takes us so far from God that the things in God that once made us so alive become dead. And I know that the reason that Joseph came so quickly before Pharaoh after being in the dungeon with no light and certainly no ability to shave and clean and look like even a human being. If you can imagine being that way for 1 or 2 years, but being that way for years and years and years. But he never lost his hope. Why? Because I think he forgave. And God brought him from the dungeon to the palace immediately, and he was ready to go. And I know in my heart this morning that God would like to bring so many of us, all of us, from the dungeon to the palace. But I have to ask myself, am I ready? You know? Or am I still holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness, and I'm not letting God move me to where he wants to move me? I'm not even ready. Even if he was to call me, I wouldn't be ready. But I love it that Joseph was ready to forgive. He's such a huge example to me of forgiveness. And so is that 11-year-old girl. One in this life and one in many, many thousands of years ago. But it's such a huge issue for us in our world. And I can't have some wonderful, adequate words or some convincing way to convince you all that God means what he says. But I think you see in the Word, and I also don't know how to make it better. You know, sometimes when I go and I speak about forgiveness, I have people come up to me and tell me their stories, and it breaks my heart. And I can't make it better, but I know God can, and I know he will. And I know he means what he says. And if we're willing, like little children, to forgive because we love him, not because we love them. Because I love him, not because I understood it. Because I love him, then he's faithful to give us that ability. And I want to throw one more thing in here, even though we're running out of time, and that is that we need to forgive ourselves. You know, it's so much easier for me to forgive other people than it is to forgive myself. But God says to forgive. And that includes me, because I'm one of his kids. You know, if your child did something wrong, maybe it was a big thing, and they did something wrong, really wrong, whatever. could be some really wrong thing they could do. And I'm not going to give any ideas to anybody, but... And we forgave them. They came to us and they asked for our forgiveness. And they didn't even know how to change. They didn't know how to right the situation. They didn't know how to make it better. They didn't know how to clean up their mess. But they just said, please, Dad, please forgive me. Your heart would be so filled with love and compassion. Yes, I forgive you. But what if they spent the rest of their life beating themselves up about it? You would go and say, son or daughter, you've got to hear me. I said I forgave you, and I'd like to help you in this situation with all that you humanly possibly could. And you wouldn't want them to continue to beat themselves up about it. You'd want them to forgive. What joy it would be in a father or mother's heart to see that child say, thank you, and go on with the rest of their life. Or in that situation, go out and play. Or in that situation, go get with their friends. But for them to hang their head for the rest of their life, that's why Christ died on the cross, was that we might be forgiven. Let's pray. Father, I know that we've run out of time this morning, but I am completely and utterly dependent upon your Spirit to move in your people this morning, to see not only the importance of forgiveness, especially before taking your body and your blood, but to also see the freedom that you offer us to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, and to allow you to take us from the dungeon to the palace, to be ready. Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would touch each one of us exactly where we need, that you would give us the ability and the strength, the fortitude and the desire and the grace, most of all, to forgive the people who have slandered us, who have talked ugly about us, misunderstood us, done wrong towards us, not helped us when they could in some desperate situation, who have maybe done something against our spouse or our children or our parents or our family or medically or just simply not cared. And we ask, Lord Jesus, as you bring that situation, that person, that institution, that place that is still hurtful in our hearts, we ask that you would show us, help us to forgive. As we even pray, forgive me as I forgive others. Father, I also pray in the name of Jesus that if there's anyone here who's just really good at beating themselves up and that allows the enemy to come with accusation and hurt towards themselves, that they would see the heart of the Father this morning saying, I forgave you on the cross. You owe no debt. Forgive yourself. Let me help you. Let me restore the years the locusts have eaten, Joel 2:25. And forgive. Father, we trust you this morning. Your word says in Romans 8:28 that you work all things for good. All things for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. We love you this morning, God, and we are called according to your purposes. And we are God's righteousness in Christ Jesus, prepared to do the good works that you preordained that we should walk in them. And we come to you humbly, and we come to you imperfectly, and we ask for your power and your Spirit to change us. Father, for those of us that haven't taken communion this morning, let us see it in a whole new way as a whole new beginning. And for those of us that have, Father, thank you for your incredible blood and your amazing sacrifice, your body that was broken for us.
Thank you.